Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Just this last week, our church bought a church. First time our church has purchased the property. We're so thrilled. But today, to today's program, there's one thing that Bill Clinton's wife and my wife Cheryl have in common, and that's HGTV. You know, Hillary Clinton said her favorite TV show is Love It or List It. And while it doesn't quite fit my on-air persona, I can tell you all about interior designer Hillary Farr and realtor David Vicentin. But other than that, as a pastor, HGTV hit my radar dead center last year as a controversy erupted when the network canceled a brand new series that was already in production with the Benham brothers, David and Jason Benham, who are Christians first and nationally acclaimed real estate entrepreneurs second. Well, A&E had their Duck Dynasty. The Learning Channel had the Duggars. So HGTV was missing out on the enormously profitable, family-friendly, Christian-friendly opportunity because, well, they didn't have a 19 and counting or a Phil Robertson. So they signed David and Jason Benham. And beyond doubt, they had a ready-made hit series that was just about to begin airing until, well, why don't we ask the Benham brothers, David and Jason, what an honor to speak with you. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, thanks for having us, Bob. It's a privilege. We're glad to be here.
Well, such a thrill. We want to talk about your book, Whatever the Cost, and of course we're going to link to it from our website. But could you tell us what happened with HGTV? It blew up. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, sir. This is David speaking, and I'll put it real short for you. In 2012, Jason and I had our company. We were at the height of our company, and production company reached out to us and said, would you guys like to be on reality television? And we figured there was a catch, but there wasn't.
Yeah.
Five networks were interested in us. TLC made us an offer, and we know the Duggar family well, so we called them and said, hey, Jim, Bob, we're going to be on with you guys. But HGTV came in and made us an unprecedented offer. They wanted to bypass the pilot straight to series, 6 one-hour episodes, set to air in the fall of 2014. So in 2013, by the time that we received the verbal offer from HGTV until 6 months later when we signed with them, or 8 months later we signed with them, they did all their background checks. They found out that we were pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family guys.
David, I think that's really, aside from the fact that Inc. magazine named you guys as one of America's fastest growing companies, you and your brother, you operate 7 businesses spanning 35 states. One of the big reasons they wanted you is because of your faith, because of those traditional Christian values.
You're exactly right. They loved what it brought to the table in terms of happily married. I got 5 children. Jason has 4. We live on the same street. We're very involved in our community. We help a lot of families by God's grace.
Yeah.
And our companies were very successful because we apply biblical principles. So HGTV was fine with all of that. They were fine with our pro-life stance, our pro-marriage stance. Whether they agreed with it or not, that didn't matter to them. They saw an opportunity to make some good money on some families that were wholesome. So everything was great until the spring of last year. In April, we started filming, and they started airing commercials, and then they announced our names at the upfronts in New York City, and that's when GLAAD and Right Wing Watch and other activist organizations called HG and said, these guys are bigots, they're haters, they're all this other stuff, and of course that's not true. So HG stuck with us for about a week, and they said, we had lots of conversations with HG and them back to GLAAD, and we write about this all in our book. And until one night, Right Wing Watch decided we're going to write a new story on these guys. So they wrote a new story, and they took comments from Jason and me out of context and comments from our dad and comments from other leaders across the country and really built a story, created a new narrative that made us look pretty awful.
Well, sure, and we've been on the air for 24 years, 5 days a week on a 50,000-watt radio station in Denver, so we know what that's like. Right Wing Watch for the audience's sake, they were basically started Norman Lear, way back in the 70s, TV producer, started People for the American Way, and Right Wing Watch is a part of that. And they've listed our program, guys, on half a dozen of their web pages. In fact, one of the pages that mentioned Benham mentions Bob Inert Live here in Denver. So what they view as hate is what God tells us to love your neighbor and tell them that God made us. God has told us what is right and wrong. And when you love people, you care about them. You care about them today. You care about them and their eternal souls. But the world views a lot of that as hate. The world didn't like Jesus all that much.
And he said that we would be persecuted because a disciple is not above his teacher. And the same thing that happened to him is going to happen to us. But the thing is when we speak the truth in love, and we have to understand that truth is a person whose name is Jesus. Love is a person whose name is Jesus. We can speak the truth in love, and we should. That's the ultimate act of love. And so when Jason and I spoke the truth, it was the truth that they just could not handle. And so they created this narrative. And unfortunately, as much as HG loved us, there were tears in their eyes when they had to let us go. They not want to let us go. They had invested a bunch of money in this show, and they really believed in it. But they got bullied. That's why we've never disparaged HG at all. We have nothing against them. We said, you know what? You got bullied into this, and we're going to have to call this bully out just like it is.
Well, you know what? When you guys were on Fox News, I think it was one of the morning shows right after it all happened, Cheryl and I are watching, and we asked the church to watch. And as a Christian, I often have these cringe moments, like when James and John asked Jesus if they could sit on his right and left hand. There's these common cringe moments. And so when a Christian is in the limelight, we're so concerned. What are they going to say? And we were so proud, Jason, of how you guys represented the Lord, represented the body of Christ with grace and mercy. And what a powerful testimony. And so the Lord can use, whether we get the show or we don't get the show, whether we go to the show of Major League Baseball or we don't, you guys are baseball players too, God can use us, whatever hits us, the Lord could use us in that. And you guys were such a great testimony. Thank you for that.
Well, praise the Lord. And we say even a donkey brought Jesus into Jerusalem. So he can definitely use a couple of donkeys like us to bring his name glory. And, people say, well, how did you guys stand like you did? And why were you not yelling and screaming? You were actually kind of happy and joyful. You know, the scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm. And Jason and I are praying for a couple of things. Number one, for a father's heart revival, for men to act like fathers. But number two, for happy warriors, because we have all the hope in the world. Mm. And the message that we have is good news, even though it's being slandered, even though it's being persecuted and twisted and falsely vilified. We still have the hope of the earth, whose name is Jesus, so we can be happy and we can be joyful.
Mm. Yeah. So one of the themes in your book is die to your dreams, face your fears, choose to live powerfully by biblical principles. So die to your dreams. You guys have done that now a couple times, right? Could you tell us a bit about playing baseball and what happened there?
We've had to die to our dreams several times. This is Jason talking. I remember being in the minor leagues just praying to God that one day I could make it to the big leagues, and I prayed it for David too. It was always a dream of ours. But what we learned with a dream is that the proper way to accomplish a dream is to first die to it in your heart and then move toward it with your feet, which means you pursue your dream. Yeah, go ahead, but die to it in your heart. And essentially that means leave the results up to God, because when you do that, God may remove one dream and replace it with another. Mm. And yet we're still not supposed to take our focus off of God and put it on the thing that he's placed into our hands. And so we say that when you simply just be faithful with where God has placed you, recognizing that you're moving toward a dream, you need to be dead to it in your heart.
Hmm. So going through your book, what an idea, you know, and it comes, of course, right from the teachings of the Lord, but you guys bring it here to the 21st century to die to your dreams. And I don't think either of you will mind this comparison, but to me, you guys are the Tim Tebows of baseball and real estate. And here's another guy who loves the Lord, is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the world has a bit of a prejudice against him, he just meets it with the Christian testimony that makes all of us out here proud to be Christians once again.
Yes, and he smiles, and he's filled with the joy of the Lord, but he doesn't back down. And Jason and I, we talk about a principle of a hard head and a soft heart. And God wants us to have a hard head when it comes to principle, not to bend on truth.
Yeah.
He made the prophet Ezekiel's head as hard as flint, the scripture says, because he had a message that was speaking to a darkening culture. But then a soft heart. We have to have a soft heart toward people. And we have to have a soft heart toward God. The scripture says in Hebrews, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So if we keep a soft heart, which means we're filled with love, we're listening to the Holy Spirit, and yet a hard head when it comes to principle, when it comes to biblical truth, these are things that really make Christians salt and light in the earth.
Yeah, a reporter for one of the nation's larger daily newspapers hung out here at Bob and Yurt Live for a day, and he, of course, wanted to slam what we do here. But in the article, he said, but the guy is cheerful. And, you know, they don't expect that. They think that if you really stand on biblical principles, you're going to be dour and ugly and angry all the time. But there's no need for that because the Lord has promised us eternal life and the blessings we have through our salvation and then through our families. And what beautiful families you guys have. In fact, the Meet the Benhams, the video on your webpage, BenhamBrothers.com. What a great video. That must have been fun to make. Was that part of the promo for HGTV, or did you guys do that on your own?
That was actually a sizzle clip that the production company put together. It was our own video footage we had from several things that we had done, but the production company put it together, and that's what they brought to the Pitch Fest in Los Angeles, where all the networks get together and production companies just pitch them show concepts. And so that's when we had five networks that wanted us, and it narrowed down to two between TLC and HG, and HG ultimately won.
And by the way, you mentioned the Duggars, Jim Bob Duggar. Phil Robertson with Duck Dynasty, he is the first one who went out to endorse your book, and what a family they are, and what encouragement millions of people have had because of families like this, that when Paul wrote to Timothy, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Boy, so many of us have been encouraged in such a big way because the culture is attacking our faith from every direction, and to have people stand up, that's just so encouraging. But so I'm glad to hear that HGTV really tried to stand by you guys at any rate. But the pressure from the media, I guess it's just too great.
Yeah, well, they weren't expecting the vilified and the horrific story and the narrative that took place, and then the thousands of comments. And I write about this in the book, and I give a lot more details on it. But, I mean, it was a cleverly orchestrated hit on traditional values, and you've got to give GLAAD and Right Wing Watch two thumbs up for the success of what they did.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they came at us, and then they wrote this article in the evening and then mobilized their base while the East Coast slept. And so while we're all snoozing over here on the East Coast, HGTV was getting slammed. We woke up the next morning, 6 a.m., our cell phones were exploding with texts from friends saying, hey, what's HGTV talking about on their website? I mean, on their Facebook page. And it simply said, we are reviewing the Benham Brothers show.
Yeah.
And underneath that was several thousand comments from activists all around the country basically saying, screaming, crucify them. And they stopped short of saying that.
Yeah.
It was tough on HG. They did not anticipate that.
Well, David and Jason, you might imagine being on the air for 24 years, we have friends throughout the conservative Christian movement all over the country, and we had heard about your contract that you were in production, and because we have People for the American Way and so many groups that have just tried to vilify us over the years, We didn't say a word on the air. We didn't even talk about it online because we knew that there's such anger against Christians who are not ashamed of the gospel that we didn't want to do anything to bring attention in a negative way to your upcoming debut. And so we were just waiting. We're so excited for your show to begin airing. But how close did it come to airing before it was canceled then?
Well, it was going to be a 10-week shoot, and we were just wrapping up the fifth week. I think we got fired in the beginning of the sixth week, and we had just gotten past all the hard stuff in all the shoots, and so the houses were getting done. We were about to start doing the reveals. That was the fun part. Mm. But they had enough footage to where we just about could have put some shows on the air, but they weren't willing to finish them out.
Right, sure. Wow. So I've got a couple quotes from your book that I'd like to run by you, but could I ask you this first? What was it like growing up Benham?
Well, for anybody that knows our dad, Flip Benham, he was the guy that baptized Norma McCorvey, who is the Jane Roe of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision.
Well,
to witness history, here's what's really cool.
Yeah.
He was a pastor, and when he found out that Norma McCorvey had an abortion clinic in Dallas, he relocated his office right next door to her abortion clinic. It was just a matter of time before she prayed to receive Christ, and that's the kind of faith that we were brought up in, that our dad would always say, if your theology is not your biography, your theology is worthless.
Yeah.
And so our dad taught us that our biblical principles and our Christianity is a comprehensive worldview that has the complex answers and life-giving solutions to today's difficult problems.
Yeah.
And so it was crazy. It was a wild ride growing up in the Benham household. But I'll tell you this, the whole title, Whatever the Cost, our mom and our dad modeled that, and it comes very naturally to us because we saw it in their lives first.
Back when I interviewed James Dobson's son about a book he wrote called Be Intolerant, a really great book, I didn't mention the whole interview. We didn't mention his dad because his son, Ryan, stands on his own two feet. And I had a plan to interview David and Jason Benham without mentioning your dad, Flip Benham, has been a dear friend of Bob and Yurt Live for many years. Guys, your dad, I have shared with my audience that I believe that of the handful of Christian heroes in America, Flip Benham is among those Christian heroes. And I have interviewed your dad about Norma McCorvey. This is Jane Roe, the Roe v. Wade of January 1973. Jane Roe is now a believer in the Lord and has appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse her own ruling because she now stands to protect unborn children instead of killing them. And so when Cheryl and I saw you guys on Fox, we felt that all those years we were telling people that Flip Benham is a man of God that you can look up to, that was vindicated when we finally saw you guys. Because to raise a David and Jason like you are, wow, what a man of God. And I've never met your mom, but she's got to be right there with your dad as a godly Christian woman.
Well, we appreciate that. And, fatherlessness is a plague in our nation right now. And we're starting to see that more and more than ever before. I mean, just take a look at Ferguson and the number of fatherless households there. And I'm just telling you, that our dad was a phenomenal dad. And in the last verse of the Old Testament, before there was 400 years of silence, said that that Elijah was going to come and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest God smite the land with a curse. Mm. And what we need now more than anything is for men to step up as fathers, even if they don't have kids, but to have that mentality of a father that's willing to provide and protect and to stand up for those in his protection, whatever the cost.
Mm. It was just on the news that in black families in America, only 17% of children grow up with a mom and a dad at home. Just 17%. It's a horrific percentage among white families also, but our culture has hit the black family and every family with a ferocity. But our heart goes out to these kids who didn't have the advantages that I had, that you guys have had, of growing up with a mom and a dad who love one another. So, yeah.
I was just going to say, and as long as there is a church that is alive on the earth, there is hope, because we can be fathers and mothers to those who don't have them.
Hmm. Yeah, when there's life, there's hope. You got a quote in your book, if I could read a short excerpt. The picture of love we are seeing from the American church today appears to be quite different than the love Jesus spoke about. We as Christians are not springing to our feet to stand in the gap against evil. We're not laying down our lives to be a blessing. We're simply protecting ourselves to get the blessing. We have replaced the fear of God with the fear of man, the very thing we have struggled within ourselves. So you guys talk about dying to yourself, and Jesus taught us that firsthand, but there is such an attack. Throughout 2014, we here on Bob and Yurt Live presented that as the year that the church began to approve of sexual immorality, just to openly approve of sexual immorality, so that unbelievers feel especially emboldened, because church after church, Christian universities, Christian schools, Christian singers, one after another, are affirming what the Bible describes as sexual immorality, where we should love our neighbor, to warn them that God made us male and female. Marriage was instituted by God between a man and a woman. Increasingly, the church is approving of sexual immorality. And so I think that accounts for some of the ferocity with which the culture is coming against Christian leaders.
See, unfortunately, we are, you know, you look back at 2,000 years of church history. Never in the church's history have they ever embraced, as a church, gay marriage or homosexuality or anything like this. We've never embraced it before, now they're quote-unquote embracing it.
Yeah.
And what we're finding is that the fear of man is what's leading this charge, and trying to be culturally relevant and trying to be cool and these other things, when God is asking us to be reverent to Him. When a prevailing worldview comes onto the scene, biblical Christians simply restate, reaffirm, and reapply biblical truth. Mm. But what the new emergent Christian will do is simply reconcile biblical truth to the prevailing worldview, so that they can continue building their brand or their image or the way that they're perceived in culture. Mm. And that is the most self-absorbed thing that we can do, because God defines the rules for life so that we can flourish. He wants what's best for us, and we equate human sexuality to fire. Inside a fireplace, in the proper context, fire is warm, it heats your home, it's romantic, it heats your food. But outside of the fireplace, it destroys everything and leaves devastation in its path. And that's what human sexuality, in the proper biblical context, is what's best for everybody. So we have to fear God and love others more than ourselves, and be willing to take the heat and just simply restate, reaffirm, and reapply biblical truth.
Well, it's like here in Colorado, we have an explosion of the increase of young kids smoking marijuana. Of course, it was legalized here, unfortunately. And so if you love your neighbor, you'll warn them that getting drunk, getting high, is destructive. God warned us against it. But if you care more that people like you, if that's like your leading concern, then you're not going to warn them. But Jesus warned the world of how destructive sin is, and they took it out on him. And Jesus said, you know, if they've come against me, they'll come against you. And it's not that we want to be persecuted, but it's an occupational hazard. It might happen if you stand for the Lord. And
that's exactly right. And this is why David and I really do have a call to men to stand up and to have that fatherly spirit. I mean, you're a dad, I'm a dad. And my son, if he's sitting at the table and he chucks food across the table, and I tell him, "Hey, buddy, you need to stop that. That's not manners. That's not what you're going to do. That's not for human flourishing, I guess, if we can use that term. And he says, sorry, Dad, I'm just a food thrower.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not going to tolerate that. No. I'm not going to say that. That's not who you are.
No.
You're more than that.
Right.
And a fatherly spirit is willing to look like the bad guy for a little bit because he truly loves the person.
Mm.
And so that's biblical love right there.
Yeah, Cheryl and I have raised a lot of boys, so we know what you mean. Now, the book, Whatever the Cost, published by Thomas Nelson, by David and Jason Benham, Benham. It's available wherever books are sold, but most easily available online, of course, at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But what I would do is go to BenhamBrothers.com. Or if you can't remember how to spell Benham, you could go to the title of the book, WhateverTheCost.com. In fact, if you Google with Whatever the Cost, almost all the top results are the Benham Brothers book, Whatever the Cost. But guys, your success in business, your success in family has become a testimony to your faith in Jesus Christ. And what an honor it is here. Somebody just brought into the studio a DVD of a documentary on a pro-life strategy called Focus on the Strategy. And this was years ago, but there's a photo of the Denver Capitol with the gold, the dome, the gold. And in the top window of the Capitol, you could see your dad, Flip Benham. And in one window over, you could see me. Your dad and I are on this DVD, Focus on the Strategy.
That's awesome. That's
so, yeah, what a hero Flip Benham, the Reverend Flip Benham, has been to us for so many years. And now to meet his sons, you guys, in this interview, what a joy. Do you have a last word? We're just about out of time.
Well, I'll just go back to the title of the book, Whatever the Cost. As Christians, a tenet of our faith is that we must have total surrender to Jesus and live out our faith, whatever the cost, because he's worth it. Jesus is worth it. And then as Americans, as citizens, we must understand that we need to fight for our freedoms, whatever the cost. These freedoms that have been handed down to us that we should pass on to our children and our children's children, as Ronald Reagan said, they must be fought for and protected and handed on. And so we as Christians stand for Jesus, whatever the cost, and as Americans, fight for our freedoms, whatever the cost, so that our children can grow up in this great nation as we all have enjoyed.
Mm. And what beautiful children you have. Well, David and Jason, I want to thank you both so very much. What an honor. Would you please say hi to your parents for us here in Denver from Bob and Yart Live?
We definitely will. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Thank you. The book is Whatever the Cost by David and Jason Benham. That's Benham. You might want to go to their website. It's just so great. BenhamBrothers.com. BenhamBrothers.com. And, you know, Flip, our friendship with Flip. Flip Benham was on the mountain overlooking Denver when Obama was in town, when the world's largest protest sign was put up. In fact, he carried in a backpack one of the letters up to the mountain. And you can Google that. Just Google world's largest protest sign. You'll see it. Hey, God bless you guys.